James chapter 4, let's read that chapter, James 4, it's page 1220 for those using the Pew Bibles, 1220, James chapter 4. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. There is a verse in Ezekiel chapter 16, and it's verse 49. I want you to take it to heart today and let it burn into your soul. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride. Pride hysteria has gripped the nation. Online giants and major high street retailers have jumped on the bandwagon. eBay, Amazon, Primark, Post Office, TransLink, Santander, Costa, Stenaline, the Ulster Unionist Party, the PSNI, the BBC, the English Cricket Board, the FA, all of these organisations have jumped on the pride bandwagon. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. You now have the ridiculous sight of professional footballers wearing rainbow-coloured laces. Yesterday, to mark Pride Day, Belfast City Hall was lit up with the colours of the rainbow. Even the Northern Ireland Civil Service has climbed aboard this Pride bandwagon. Just yesterday, its newly appointed head, David Stirling, tweeted, "Delighted that my first tweet as head of the Northern Ireland Civil Service is from Belfast Pride." And here's me thinking public sector organisations were supposed to be impartial. God's word tells us in James chapter 4 and verse 6, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Proud people will never be in heaven. Humble people will be. Proud people think they can do without God. They think they do not need Jesus Christ. But humble people realize that they need God and they need Jesus Christ so desperately. So let us remember today that God categorically states that he will resist proud individuals, but he will give grace to those who are humble. What does God have to say about pride? What does the Word of God have to say about pride? We're not interested today in what those who were parading through Belfast yesterday have to say about pride. We're not interested in those who will be parading through our maiden city come the last Saturday of the month. No, what we want to get to today is the Word of God. And let us hear today what the Word of God has to say on this subject of pride. This critical, topical subject of pride. P. We need to go to the book of Proverbs. P stands for Proverbs. The most famous verse in the Bible relating to pride is in Proverbs chapter 16 verse 18. Proverbs chapter 16 verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. The Word of God tells us that those who are proud, those who hold on to their pride, will one day be destroyed. And it's not just talking about their bodies, but it's talking about their souls. The Lord Jesus warned on one occasion, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." And Jesus does not want any person to be damned. He does not want their soul to be destroyed. And that is why he gives the warning. And folks, that's why today I'm giving the warning about pride. Because I do not want anyone to be destroyed. I do not want anyone to be lost in hell. There are ministers today who will not say anything about this subject. They will remain silent, and their silence is deafening. All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do and to say nothing. We have a duty to speak up on this subject and on other subjects. Whenever I was led into the work of God, it wasn't some, airy-fairy voice in my head. It wasn't some feeling I had that brought me into the ministry. It was the Word of God, Ezekiel chapter 33. And in that chapter, it speaks about the watchman. And the Lord is describing the duty of a watchman. The duty of a watchman was to blow the trumpet. When he saw the enemy coming toward the city walls, he had to blow on his trumpet to warn those in the city. And I want to tell you, the Lord needs watchmen today. People who are prepared to speak up and to take a stand for Christ. People who are not going to be bullied or intimidated into silence. People who are not going to be cowed into silence by the constant shout, "Homophobia! Homophobia! Homophobia!" Homophobia is a word that has been invented by the gay rights movement to bludgeon Christians into silence. P stands for Proverbs. R stands for rebellion. Rebellion. What is pride? Pride is rebellion against our Creator. Shaking our fists in the face of the one true God, telling him we don't need him. I can get along fine without you, Jesus. Leave me alone. Rebellion. Satan was the first rebel, of course. And Satan started waving his rainbow flag even before the Lord Jesus Christ created the universe. Pride, according to Bishop Ryle, is the oldest sin in the world. Indeed, it was before the world. Satan and his angels fell by pride. They were not satisfied with their first situation and status. Pride threw Adam out of paradise because he was not content with the place God had assigned to him. He tried to raise himself and fell. Thus sin, sorrow and death entered into our world as a result of pride. P-R-I. I, of course, is the letter right in the middle of the word. Boy, I must be a brain surgeon to have worked that out. But the point I'm trying to make today is that right in the middle of the word pride is the big I, the big me. It's all about me. It's all about my life. Have you got eye trouble today? Oh, I don't mean these two eyes. But I mean, have you got trouble with the big I? Is your life all about you? How much pleasure you can get out of it? How much enjoyment you can get out of it? Putting yourself first? Or have you humbled yourself and taken your place like the publican and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner? And the big I has been knocked off his perch. I trust that is the case with you today. I trust that you can say with the hymn writer, I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Saviour. I surrender all. C.S. Lewis, speaking of pride, he said, pride is a telescope turned the wrong way. Pride is a telescope turned the wrong way. What happens, of course, when you turn the telescope the wrong way is that everything else and what you're looking at becomes small and you're the one who is magnified. P stands for Proverbs. Pride goeth before destruction. R stands for rebellion. Satan has rebelled against his creator and people are still rebelling against him to this very day. I, the letter right in the middle of the word, the big I. People are full of themselves today. People are puffed up with pride. Dare you tell me that what I am doing is wrong? You have to tolerate me. The buzzword today is tolerance. But I want to tell you folks today, tolerance is a two-way street. And it seems to be today that Christians have to tolerate everybody and anybody, everything and anything, but nobody tolerates Christians. There ain't much tolerance for Christians today. It seems to be a one-way street, but actually true tolerance is a two-way street. Let me move on to the word D. Delusion. Delusion. This afternoon, there is a service of celebration in All Souls Church, Belfast. You know what it's for? Belfast Pride. Celebrating that which God calls an abomination. On the 14th of July, in the new room in Bristol, there was also a service of celebration for pride. Bristol Pride. John Wesley's original chapel, the oldest Methodist building in the world, was used to celebrate that which God loathes. Let me tell you in his own words how John Wesley described homosexuality. He said that it was an idolatry being punished with that unnatural lust, which was as horrible a dishonour to the body as their idolatry was to God. Why do people go to services of celebration for pride? It's because they have been deluded into thinking that you can be a gay Christian. Gay Christianity is one of the biggest delusions and deceptions, one of the biggest lies that is out there today. And so often when we present the gospel and say you need to repent of your sin, people say, well, it's fine. I can be a Christian and also be gay. I can hold on to my gay lifestyle, or perhaps a better term would be death style. But the truth and the reality is that God's word tells us that it is impossible to be gay and to be Christian. Gay Christianity is just not possible. Rather, the Lord calls us to repentance. The very first sermon that Jesus Christ preached on the earth was, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." Let me finish off today the final letter. Obviously, in the word pride is the letter E. I want to say, folks, that pride is everywhere. Everywhere. And so the letter E stands for everywhere. Let's be clear today, sodomites are not the only people who are guilty of pride. There are those who are proud of their drunkenness and will brag about how much alcohol they can consume and how they can't remember a thing from the night before. But Isaiah chapter 5 verse 22 declares, "Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink." Other people are proud of their drug use and will boast and brag of the kinds of drugs they can get their hands on. And there are straight men who are proud of the number of women they have taken to bed. One National Basketball Association player in America bragged that he had bedded over 3,000 women. He actually kept a count. And I've even read of men who are proud of their collection of porn magazines, leaving them out for people to see. Folks, I know that this is nitty-gritty. I know that you would rather not hear these things today, and I tell you one thing, I'd rather not preach about them. But if we don't preach about them and we don't face up to them, we are just like the ostrich burying our head in the sand. I want to tell you something today. Most Christians in Ulster have their head firmly buried in the sand. In fact, most ministers in Ulster today have their heads firmly buried in the sand. And what happens when you bury your head in the sand? You can't say anything, you can't speak, and nobody will hear what you say if you try to speak. We've got to face up to these things. We've got to live in the real world. For far too long, the church in Ulster and the church in the West has not been living in the real world. And ministers have been talking about daffodils and dandelions. And all the while, souls are perishing and going out into the flames of hell. In the year 1912, the Titanic set sail for America. Her builders had boasted that even God could not sink her. Her builders had asked the captain of the ship to go at top speed to try to break the speed record. But of course we know the story that as she journeyed through the Atlantic, there were icebergs in her path. Do you know how many warnings were given to the Titanic? Six. Six different warning messages were sent, but they were disregarded. As a church and as a minister, I have the duty of warning souls. Every church, every minister has that duty. We do have to be watchmen. Because the Lord Jesus Christ says that if you do not warn souls to repent and believe the gospel, then one day I will require their blood at your hand. And let's face it, folks, all that really matters is that day when we stand before the Lord and we give account to Him. Isn't that all that really matters at the end of the day? Surely we need to realize today that it doesn't matter the abuse and the opposition and the hatred and intimidation that we suffer for taking a stand for Christ. Surely all that matters is that one day when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, we will hear His words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Because you warned people to flee from the wrath to come. To go back to the Titanic analogy, the Lord Jesus has provided a lifeboat for souls, and He has provided a lifeboat for you. If you're not a believer, you're currently on the spiritual Titanic, and it's going down, and going down fast. But the Lord does not want you to perish in the spiritual Atlantic. Rather, He wants you to leave the Titanic and get on to the lifeboat and be saved and spend all eternity with Him. And so He tells you today to pour contempt on all your pride. That's the message that goes out today from the throne of heaven. And it's a message for homosexuals, and it's a message for drunkards, and it's a message for drug addicts and gamblers. It's a message for adulterers and fornicators. In fact, it's a message for religious sinners too, sinners who go to church every Sunday. Pour contempt on all your pride. Belfast Pride took the theme this year, "Come Out for Change." I would say today, with the words of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, "Come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." I am so glad today that it is possible for sinners to be saved. I am so glad today that it is possible for homosexuals to be saved. I had the pleasure of watching this past week videos on YouTube of former homosexuals who are now washed in the blood of Jesus and are born again and following Christ. It is possible for homosexuals to be saved. It is possible for you to be saved. Let's face it, friends, every one of us are broken people. And I want to say as I finish this morning that I am just as broken as any homosexual ever was. But I'm glad today that the Lord Jesus Christ has lifted me out of the miry clay and out of the horrible pit. And in the words of the hymn writer, I can say, "Love lifted me, love lifted me, when no one but Christ could help. Love lifted me." Jesus has lifted me, and He can lift you too. In the book of Genesis chapter 19, we have the story there of Sodom and Gomorrah. And of course, it tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ rained fire and brimstone upon those evil, vile cities. But thank God there were people who escaped, Lot and his family. And thank God it is possible for sinners to escape from the whole pride movement today. It is possible for sinners to be brought out of Sodom today. And I finish with the words of Genesis chapter 19 and the words of the angel who was sent by the Lord Jesus Christ to bring Lot and his family out of Sodom. "Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." We thank you, O Lord, that Paul could say, "Such were some of you,
But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, we thank thee today that it's possible for those who are caught up in the gay lifestyle to be saved. We thank you it's possible for them to be made new creatures in Christ. And Lord, we pray that that may happen even today. We thank thee that it's possible for all sinners to be saved. Because we all need Christ. And so we pray even in this church today that there'd be someone who, with the hymn writer, would say, I pour contempt on all my pride. Lord, answer prayer for the glory of the one who had no pride, the blessed Lord Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.